When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And as you can tell from the audio, I'm back in the car, picking up Anne from work, and thought I'd jot down a few notes in the form of an essay on something that's been going on in my life this week. And this one's going to be a little bit about professional illustration and freelancing with a little bit of a tip for managing a project when you have a lot of cooks in the kitchen in terms of clients. Yes, I'm talking about that superhero comics project that I'm working on for that nonprofit organization, where I actually only have one contact person as the client, but this particular client is putting all of my designs and ideas and sketches in front of a committee of teachers to evaluate if this content is appropriate to be distributed in their school. And that's fine. The client has the right to do that. But as I've documented in some past Thunder Punch dailies, and this has happened to me quite a bit in client jobs where it's being put before focus groups, is you can sometimes get a lot of weird input from the client. And some of it can be very helpful. Some of it can be inspiring to get you to think about it in a way, think about a project or about your work in a way that you hadn't thought about it before. As a matter of fact, just as a quick anecdote to back up this point, I'm not just trying to be gentle here. A couple weeks ago, I had turned in all of the character designs for the job, and I had part of the character design process was I was also supplying bios, you know, stories, backstories for all of the characters, their name, what their personality is like, and what they ultimately want in the context of this story. And the client came back to me with some input from some second grade teachers saying some of these names will be too hard for a second grader to say. Or read, for that matter. And one of the characters' names, the bad guy, was originally going to be called Calamitous, and his sister's name was going to be Heinous, which I thought was cute. But remember, guys, if you go back and listen to those old Thunder Punch dailies, I designed all of these characters very rapidly. I did not have a ton of time to get the initial concepts turned in. So while I was happy with the names, I wasn't like gung-ho thrilled about the names. But, you know, a deadline's a deadline. Turn it in. Well, when they came back to me and said, some of these characters' names will be too difficult for a second grader to pronounce. Could you give us some alternatives, for these characters' names? Now, I could have gotten angry about it, frustrated. How dare you criticize or question my judgment? I'm the expert, after all. That's why you hired me to do this. But I also have a responsibility to please the client, remember? So I took it as an opportunity to think of even better names for the characters. And so I came up with, three or four different options for the characters in question and gave it back to them, and they picked the ones that they liked. And I made them happier. There's a couple of them, which ironically were names that I originally had chosen for them, but I decided, nah, it's not very clever. I can do better than that. The character in question was a guy by the name of the original concept was a guy who is a doctor who spreads disease. He's a disease guy. And it's the whole idea behind him is that he convinces children to not wash their hands, to not practice good hygiene, so that they'll get sick more often because that makes him happy. And the name I came up with him for him was Professor Mucus von Snotbottom, which is cute, but I thought, well, you know, I can come up with something a little bit more, you know, I don't know, subtle than that, that delivers the same message. But they didn't like what I came up with, so we went back to Professor Mucus von Snotbottom. But in any case, you know, so sometimes that input can be an opportunity for you to reinvestigate an idea and make it even better than it was before, okay? So that's the nice way of looking at it. But I did go to bat for a couple of the characters' names. I brought up the whole idea of how when I was a kid reading Marvel and DC comics, a lot of those writers wrote just above my head. So when they said things I want that uxorious chrome visage twit in his xanthippic consort winkled out of my sight like the limacious bivalves they are, I, as a kid, did not know those words. I had to look them up, and it increased my vocabulary. So I went to bat for a few of the characters in that regard, saying, like, well, you know, maybe they won't be able to pronounce it, but won't that be an opportunity for a teaching moment where you could teach them a new vocab word? They didn't buy it, so I had to come up with new names for the characters. Okay, so problem solved. But it did light a light bulb over my head in terms of anticipating what this client is going to say when I'm delivering new materials. So I'm doing the thumbnails for a coloring book. I was contracted to create a 12-page coloring book for featuring all these new characters, having some kind of conflict where the bad guys are trying to get kids to make bad choices, and the good guys are trying to stop the bad guys. So 12 pages is, I can comfortably write a story in 12 pages as a comic, but because they said coloring book, it got me wondering, I wonder if they really expect me to do just a coloring book where, you know, and I have a whole fleet of coloring books in my studio that I use for reference. I keep a whole box of books of, like, golden books, super adventure books, coloring books, all from 80s properties, which I keep them because I like them, but I also keep them as reference for, okay, how did they do, like, really short, succinct stories for young people? I like to look at them and just be inspired every once in a while. So I opened up these coloring books, and yeah, sure enough, a lot of, even I had this really, like, a 60 or 80 page G.I. Joe coloring book from the late 80s, and in it, there is a story being told, but they had 80 pages to tell it, and there's no panels. It's just each page is a panel, essentially, of the narrative. And so I thought, well, gosh, I wonder if the client is going to expect that from me, or if they're actually expecting me to do a comic. And I decided in the end to do it as a comic with very open line art, very simple artwork that is meant to be colored with crayons. But there's 3 to 5 panels on every page because I wanted to fit in a real story. I wanted this to be a story that the teachers will understand is good for kids to read, but I also feel good about writing. I don't want to write something that's so simple that I don't feel like I really did anything, you know? I don't want to just have the bad guy show up. If you guys have read, like, the Spidey Adventure comics from the 70s that came out concurrently with the Electric Company children's show series, not a lot happens in those comics. And, like, Dr. Doom will show up and he'll say, I'm bad, I'm Dr. Doom, you know? And the whole premise is that these comics are easy to read. I didn't want to go quite that far, right? I wanted it to be somewhat sophisticated, although simple. So I decided to make it a comic. And then as I'm working on it, I'm having a good time working on it, it occurred to me, gosh, you know, they might fight me on this. They might say, well, gee, we were really looking for something a bit simpler in the narrative. And sometimes, not always, I don't want you guys to misunderstand me here, I'm not criticizing this client or trying to cast aspersions on their character or anything like that, but I am saying in a broader general sense, in my own experience, having worked from home as a freelance illustrator and cartoonist for 6 years now, 7, wow, how about that, clients sometimes do have a tendency to want to do what's called, by some, thumbprinting. They want to feel like they were involved in the creative process, and they don't live with comic stories the way we do, day in and day out, so sometimes their input can be, like I was alluding to earlier, not entirely helpful to getting the thing done. It can slow things down, and it can even present even more problems for you as a creator, because you have to find out a way to meet that expectation or solve that perceived problem in a way that doesn't jeopardize the entire project. I hope that was, I'm trying to be diplomatic here. I'm trying not to say that clients are jerks, and sometimes you just gotta work with stupid people. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying that sometimes they can give input to a project that is not always the most informed decision, but they want to be involved in the creative process, okay? So I anticipated, as I was working on this comic, that they might try to get involved in that part of it. And that's where I'm going to get really tired of this job if that happens. If I have to fight them on whether or not this thing should be a comic or if it should be 12 pages of just headshots, then the job's going to turn into a job instead of a wonderful, I can't believe they're paying me to do this kind of situation. So what did I do? As I was working on it, I came up with an idea. There's a character in the story named Turnbuckle Tutwiler, who is a pro wrestler superhero who's a pacifist. And that's why he wrestles, because he'd rather pin than punch. I think I talked about him before. And I drew a scene of him sitting under a tree enjoying nature, because he's a sweet guy, he's a gentle guy. And I wrote a line of dialogue, "Shore is purdy." S-H-O-R-E is P-U-R-D-Y. So it's sort of slangy, accented, affected language in the dialogue bloom, which I like to do because I think that's one of the powers of comics is expressing voice through the dialogue that way. And the moment I did it, I almost erased it and I thought, they're going to call me out on this. They're going to say, oh, that's incorrect grammar. That's misspelling words. That's just going to confuse the children. But then I stopped and I realized, well, that would be a good thing, wouldn't it? Because that's a battle I don't mind losing. That's a battle that I would easily or happily capitulate to and say, sure, I'll make the dialogue more proper for the coloring book, and then maybe when I do some of the later iterations of this story for older kids, I can go back to expressing the characters' voices with accents and things like that. That's not something I'm married to. This thing being a comic, I'm married to. Characters having accents, don't care so much. So I left it in. And I'm crossing my fingers that this will be a diverting tactic. That'll be the battle they'll want to fight because it's the most apparent to them, right? Because they're reading the words as adults who don't read comics nor on a regular basis. A lot of adults read the word balloons first and foremost, or even only sometimes in some cases. So it was a light bulb moment to me that as freelance illustrators, as professional illustrators, contract illustrators, whatever you want to call it, a neat trick to possibly try, and I'll let you know if it worked when I get the comments back on the story, because I'm still waiting for client approval on the job, but a neat trick to try to employ to help expedite the project and let people thumbprint in their way, let them feel like they're involved without, you know, messing with things that you feel very strongly about in the project, is maybe throw out a couple little diversionary pieces of misdirection to get them to pay attention to that, criticize that, I'll change it, now you're involved, and you didn't mess with what I feel is essential to making this project really great. Hope that didn't sound too cynical. I didn't mean it to, but you know, we'll see what happens when people respond to this, what kind of client feedback I get from you guys, because after all, in Art and Story Supreme, you guys are sort of the clients in this case. So, that said, who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for being the client of this project. We can't do a job without a client, so thank you once again. And I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody,
there are times when everybody dreams of becoming very rich or powerful, but what they don't think about are the problems and responsibilities that go with it. In today's story, He-Man was tested, and he proved his worth when he was able to resist the temptation to use his great power for any selfish gain. He knew that it's just as important to know when not to use force as it is to know when to use it.